It is all about freedom. It is about the ultimate freedom that not everyone has. Freedom that this world cannot touch, cannot take away. And so the question as we jump in this morning is, do I have this freedom? Do I? Do you? Because our time is limited this morning, let's jump right in. Paul is writing to Philemon about their mutual acquaintance, Onesimus. We're reading verses 4 through 16. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. May we pray. Jesus, help us to see the beauty of your Spirit in your Word. Breathe, we pray, life afresh into us through your Word, that these dry bones may live and dance. In your name, amen. So, again, this is an incredible passage of Scripture. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Philemon was his owner. And Paul, who led Onesimus to Jesus, is sending him back to Philemon. Not only that, Onesimus, again, who ran away, is going voluntarily, even though there were potentially harsh punishments, including even death for runaway slaves in the Roman Empire. So what on earth is going on in this letter? Or is earth even the right place to look? Because this is really about the ultimate freedom, the freedom of a whole new identity because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And this identity takes these things that we often value so much in this life, even our personal freedom, and causes us to see them from a whole new perspective. Make no mistake, this is a letter that isn't easy for anyone. It isn't easy for Paul to write. Certainly not easy for Onesimus to carry back, or even for Philemon to receive. But what it's really about is worth it. It is so worth it to all of them. And if we can tap into what is really happening here, oh man, we want to. We want to. there are some not so subtle hints in this letter. It's almost like Paul ends every sentence with kind of a wink and a nod. It's like, you know what I'm saying, right, Philemon? You really, I know it looks corny, but bear with me here, because that's what's going on in this letter. You really know what I'm saying, right? Paul starts by telling about how he has heard about his love for all God's people, including a runaway slave. So, I mean, that's the intent, right? And then he says in verse 6, I pray your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we have for the sake of Christ. Now, this is from the newer translation of the NIV. I actually love the older translation of the NIV, which says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. This also is, I think, a very accurate translation, but the intent is captured well in both. So Paul is saying, there's more, Philemon. There's more. You love Jesus, and I praise God that you do. You have love for people, but there's more. Let's go deeper. Here's a place where your faith and where your love can make such a difference. So Philemon, here's the backstory, became a believer because of Paul. When Paul is imprisoned in Rome, he meets Onesimus, this runaway slave, and then he leads him to Jesus as well. And then Paul finds out whom he has run away from, someone he knows. And the content of this letter also shows Onesimus might have stolen something from Philemon, and Paul offers to pay it back. But the most fascinating thing about all of this is the role that their faith plays. Take a look at verse 10. Paul refers to Onesimus as his son. Paul says he became his son when he was in chains. Again, see that sort of wink and nod there? He became my son when I was in chains for the gospel. So, in other words, that's probably a reference to Philemon's past life as well as a slave. And now, or Onesimus' past life, excuse me, as a slave. And now Paul is urging Philemon to set him free so that Onesimus can freely share the good news about Jesus and help Paul while he's there in prison in Rome. Notice the play on words in verse 11. Now, the name Onesimus means useful. So, verse 11, again, knowing it means useful. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he's become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, hint, hint, in helping me, very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. So there it is. In so many words, set him free. Set him free, Philemon. Send him back. Send him back to me. We're about something that's vital here. We need your help. And in verse 16, you see why. Because he's no longer a slave, Philemon. He's a brother. He's a fellow man. He's a brother in the Lord. Dear to us both. I recommend you go back and read this letter, because there is so much in this. You know, Paul is saying, look, I could order you to do this, Philemon, but I'm appealing to you. And maybe the reason why this happened, you know, perhaps he was separated from you for a while so that you could have him back, not as a slave, as a brother. As a brother? I mean, what's happening here? It's just on a human level, on a level of faith, This is absolutely vital. So what happened? Well, we don't know, but we can make a pretty good guess. We have the letter. The fact that we have the letter indicates something. Philemon was a member of the church at Colossae. If he had not responded favorably to the letter, I mean, it ended up with the letters from the church in Colossae, right? So how did they get it? Philemon must have shared the letter with the church. I think there's a pretty good case there that it would not have happened if he had not responded well. And Ignatius of Antioch, a well-known source from the first century, tells us about a bishop later, several years, decades later. There's this bishop in Ephesus who became the leader of the church there after Paul's protege, Timothy. The bishop's name? You guessed it. Onesimus. Onesimus. It's very possible that he went from slave to believer to bishop to martyr. That's why Ignatius was writing about him. To martyr, all for the sake of Jesus. Now, again, maybe you thought I was just being hyperbolic at the beginning when I said it really is an amazing story. But the more you look into this, yeah, it is. I mean, even if we don't know the whole outcome, but there's one thing we do know. Again, look at verse 6. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. So he's calling him out. Take the next steps in following Jesus. What is it that he wants you to do? I think this is a good question for us to ask ourselves in this context of looking at someone whose name is useful, whose name means useful. How can I be useful to Jesus? I like what George MacDonald said. Quote I mentioned last week, obedience is the opener of eyes. And as we choose to take those steps, where would he have you follow? Where is he calling you, calling me this week? If we want to have a deeper understanding of the good things we have in Jesus, we have to be real with him right in that place and follow him from the heart. We have to do the right thing with each other, even if it isn't easy. Paul explains this whole attitude in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So God calls us in following to this humble love, because we are living so for so much more. I mean, just look. Again, take a look back at what's going on, at what each one is giving up, because there's a risk of reach here. Paul, who's basically already given up his life. I mean, he's in prison for his faith. Gives up the vital help that Onesimus could freely give him. Because, by the way, that's how you ate in prison. Others cared for you on the outside in the Roman Empire. That's how it worked. So Paul gives that up, gives up Onesimus. Onesimus gives up his freedom, potentially even his life. In Philemon, we have good reason to believe, gives up Onesimus. All for one reason. Because Jesus is worth it. Because it's all for Jesus. Because he is worthy of anything we give up for him. Because the kingdom we belong to is not of this world, which is passing away. That's the freedom we live in Jesus. Freedom that cannot be bound to the world's perspective and locked down. Freedom that cannot be bound because of his incomparable, never-ending love for us. Jim Elliot, a missionary martyr, summed it up so well when he said this about life. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. How about you? How about me? Where is Jesus calling you and me to take the next steps? Out of bondage into freedom. Freedom that never ends. May we pray. Lord, thank you for what happened here. Thank you for these three faithful ones who loved you more than this world. Lord, we want to be like that, and we can't be that way without your help, without your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come, and if there are places wherever we're holding back, would you gently, ever so gently, show us and speak to us. And would you help us to see the beauty of what you're welcoming us into and to follow you with arms open wide, to run to you because you really have set us free. Bless us in this, Lord, to follow you, to live obediently so that we see things we never, ever would have seen otherwise, to live in love with you and so love others. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.